Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back, Milwaukee. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, live here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Tim Allen, Ryan Horvath in for the boys. Some holiday time off, and our poll out there on Twitter and Facebook at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Who do you like more and why, Chuck or Bart? I like them both. I do, and I know you guys like them both. That's why you listen. I consider them both friends of mine. I do. I know that's contrary. We always give them. I will always give these guys. Yeah, I can't say that. I give them grief all the time. But
have you ever
let one slip on the air?
Yeah, like in your career, like even when you were doing country hits and polka and disco back in the day.
One time.
I was doing play-by-play one time, and for some reason I wanted to say shirt instead of jersey, and I said the other one, and then I tried to correct myself, and I did it again, and then I tried to correct myself, and I did it again, and I was doing a play-by-play broadcast.
You got tape of this?
With my PD. No, we burned it. And he just goes, just move on. And I said, all right, you're right.
Yep, just forget about it. I like them both, but who do you like more and why? We'll have some fun with that. As the morning rolls along, right now we're talking about Packers football and how you've processed this Sunday night debacle in San Francisco. And to me, it hasn't swayed the needle in large portions for me, just in the terms of Aaron Jones. That's just the specific one for me that has changed. Outside of that, hey, 8-3, one of the better teams in the NFC. They're going to be right in the mix in the postseason. Right? Tell me that's right, right? Their schedule is favorable. They've got the Giants, the Redskins. They've got the tough one against Minnesota, but they also have Chicago and Detroit in there.
Right, yeah. I see at least four wins in there, right? I mean, they should go 4-1 down this stretch.
They should.
The Bears game does scare me a little bit because the Bears are still a decent team. Like, we like to rag on the Bears, but that defense is still a top defense.
They should beat Detroit, Washington, and New York.
They should.
Okay, so that's across the board. There's three. There's an 11-win team right there. Now, the Bear game, interdivision, it's the rival. It's, you know, that would be the outlier. And then the big one, the one up in the... up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, week 16. That's going to be, I mean, that's, the division's going to be on the line week 16, no matter what. We already know that. And that's what scares me. I almost wish that you got that one, you know, because you played them at Lambeau already this year. I almost wish you go to Minnesota week 2 and then you're playing that one week 16 in the colder elements in Lambeau, in Green Bay at Lambeau Field, just because I want to see what Kirk Cousins could do outside in those conditions. I don't really want to see Kirk Cousins at home because I know that he plays well at home.
Yeah. And they're a decent football team.
I mean,
the Vikings are a decent team.
They didn't show up in the first half, week 2, against the Packers, but they dominated that game from the second quarter on. In the second half, they dominated that game. And that's what's kind of scary, is that Mike Zimmer did figure out Matt LaFleur in the second half, and LaFleur made no adjustments. I mean, they took their foot off the gas a little bit, but yeah, that one concerns me a little bit. That's why you have to take care of business against Washington, obviously, and the Giants. You can't afford a slip up.
414-799-1250. We always formulate our opinion immediately, right? And then it changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. After we put our feet back on the ground, we start taking a look around the NFL, and we know that these types of things happen. How has that changed for you? Let's say hello to Wally. You're next here, Chuck and Winkler, here on The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks morning. For taking my call. Yeah, there's a lot to say. I think the offensive line is a little sketchy. I think the biggest thing that hurts the Packers, but I mean the whole team-wise, is, and I never thought I'd say this, the wide receivers are just you know, after Davante Adams, in my opinion, they have nothing. I mean, the guys don't get open. They don't catch the ball. MVS has a decent game, and you don't hear his name for four games. Allison is just, I'm not a big fan of him. And the tight end position, Jimmy Graham, he's just slow. He doesn't stretch the field at all. He doesn't get open either. So I think receiver-wise, you know, they have no talent there.
But
you
has know, that Tim, changed you know, because of this
really
game?
Good point with Aaron Jones. Like, he needed to be more involved in that game. So I think the only way that you stop a pass rush when they got, you know, you're going against somebody that's got a pass rush like San Francisco, you have to come out and line up five guys and dink and dunk. You know, you got to spread the field more and get rid of the ball. I don't know why Rodgers was dropping back five, seven, you know, steps. I mean, that pass rush was just going to kill him. I knew it. I knew it from the beginning of the game. So.
All right. Well, all right. Thanks for the call. And we, most of us agree with you on the wide receiver core.
Yeah, they're not good.
But has that changed, number one, because of this game on Sunday night? But number two, throughout the season, not a big fan last year or this year of the Packers not going out and getting a veteran wide receiver. It's simple. Guys, it was as simple as it could possibly be. But as true Packer fans should be, loyalty steps in,
yep,
and you start justifying this. You start saying, well, no, if you look at Geronimo Allison's half a season last year, those numbers are pretty good. You prorate those numbers out. No, we're all right. Look at MVS. He can hit the home run ball. We start justifying these. Look at Kumaro. Aaron Rodgers loves Kumaro. You start justifying these things. That's tough to change your mindset that way and be realistic. I know that's me. That's a word I'm usually not talking about through this microphone. But to be realistic about that wide receiver core, I think they knew it. I do. And I thought, well, I still think, that they believed that Aaron Rodgers would outdo that, would make them better.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter who they had at wide receiver outside of Devontae. Got a nice veteran tight end in Jimmy Graham, achieved high success throughout his career. Aaron Rodgers he'll level that off. He'll make those guys better. It just hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't, and that's the one knock on Brian Gutekunst thus far for me is that, he had a great offseason. The Smith brothers, I mean, what do they got, 18.5 combined sacks? They're ridiculous. Adrian Amos, a nice pickup. You know, he's done some nice stuff in the draft.
See how free agents work on the defensive side of the game?
On the defensive side of the ball, right, exactly. Yeah. But you draft three rookies, and I'll die on this hill forever. I mean, if you're going to cut ties with Jordy Nelson, I was fine with it. You could say he was past his prime. I still think he catches 10 touchdowns in this offense right now with Aaron Rodgers on those back shoulder throws. But if you're going to say goodbye to old Jordy Nelson, not Jimmy Nelson, then why do you bring in another old guy that's past his prime in Jimmy Graham? Randall Cobb probably would have. Guys don't want to take hometown discounts, and I don't think he would have took a huge discount, but you could have brought Randall Cobb most likely back for what, mm-hmm, $5 to $6 million, and you have not only Aaron Rodgers' best friend on the team, but a guy Rodgers always knew where he was going to be on the field. And what's the one thing you could say about Randall Cobb? Yeah, he struggled from time to time. He's not a true number one receiver, but in big moments, like how many big plays has that guy made? The play to beat the Bears week 17 at Soldier Field to get them into the playoffs. The play to beat the Bears last year, week one. Like, Rodgers always knew where he was going to be, and you look what he's doing with Dallas right now, and I think that's what hurts the most is MVS hasn't really worked out, right? St. Brown, he's not going to play this year. You cut ties with the other dude. And so you look at it, Geronimo Allison not working out. Jake Kumaro, exactly. And you look what Randall Cobb's doing in Dallas, and he's having a pretty solid season. And so I think that that's what hurts me the most is that you could still have some of these veterans, and instead you chose these three rookies or three second-year players who just haven't worked out. You have Aaron Rodgers in the prime of his career, probably past the prime of his career. He's probably
maybe
got a 3 to 4 year window here. You look at what that's why I was so excited about the LaFleur hiring, because I said, look what New Orleans has done. Drew Brees was getting older. Tom Brady was getting older. So what those coordinators and head coaches did was they completely changed that offense where it was three-step drop, get rid of the ball quickly. That's what LaFleur was doing when the Packers were winning these games when Davante Adams was out, right? They were getting rid of the ball quickly, get it to the backs, don't let Rodgers get hit. all of a sudden, we're back to the Mike McCarthy offense where Rodgers is doing five-step drops, seven-step drops.
And running around.
And throwing the ball 34 times a game.
I listened. There's several platforms. I like to get the taste of all the deliveries, if you will, the TV call, both the national call on the radio and then the local. So I bounce around. Sometimes multiples are going on at the same time during a Packer game. I apologize. I don't know who the color analyst was on the national call, but he had said Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night looked like a freshman college quarterback.
He did. I mean, he looked – that was a Mitch Trubisky game. If you're averaging 2-3 yards per pass on 34 attempts or whatever the hell it was, that's a Mitch Trubisky game. That's a rookie quarterback. You don't even see guys like Kyle Allen doing that. I mean, you look – and you could argue that the 49ers have the best defensive line in the game, which they do.
Defense is wicked.
But they're playing without D. Ford. That's arguably their best pass rusher right there. He's out. You didn't even have to face D. Ford. And what's kind of concerning to me is you look what a rookie quarterback, granted the number one overall pick, Kyler Murray did against that Niners defense twice. I mean, they had a 16-point advantage on him that they blew, but Kyler Murray played way better than Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers. I'm his biggest apologist. I think he'll just be fine. I don't think he's the problem. I think that he was under constant pressure. He doesn't like being hit at this point of his career. But he does look... Aaron Rodgers is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but I don't think he's got that Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson thing going right now where in the fourth quarter he could lead you to victory. Like, he could LeBron James his way to victory. I don't think he could do that anymore. I think he's a great quarterback, but he's more, I don't want to say game manager, I hate that term, and he's still Aaron Rodgers, you know, an elite quarterback, but yeah. I just don't know if you're down three scores, like he could lead you back like he did week one against Chicago last week.
Now, that's what I was leaning toward after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an emotional thing. Like, you're pissed, right? You're super pissed that the Packers got their butts kicked. But then reason starts to take hold. And the next morning, you know, sorting through the details, listening to you guys, and it was rather emotional yesterday morning. And then throughout the day, you kind of put your feet back on the ground and you say, well,
it's one loss.
It is one loss. And then it changed for me on Aaron Rodgers. He needs some help, guys. And there's been some articles and social media hits that I've read, and I've heard the station here on The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that are really blasting Aaron Rodgers, and not in a, like, he sucks sort of thing, but like you had said, maybe he's past his prime, and we're seeing just the early stages of being past his prime. I've changed on that. I want to get into that Aaron Rodgers thing in just a second here.
Perfect.
Because it just... So I started looking at some comps,
yeah.
And the numbers are down for our typical Aaron Rodgers season. They are a little down. You have to incorporate all the intangibles in it, guys. You do, and that is that O line, that wide receiver core. There is a new offense implemented in Green Bay. Let's not forget about that. Maybe, just maybe, it's not an Aaron Rodgers snippet of what's to be, and that is a past his prime thing. We'll get into that next. Aaron Rodgers conversation. That's right here. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Tim Allen, Ryan Horvath in for the boys this morning on The Fan.
Play very physical tonight, I think, as a whole, and we obviously didn't execute. But I feel good about the energy pregame and the approach. I think we had a good week of practice, which is why it's so surprising, the performance. But got to give them credit. You know, they played really well, but I still like our chances. I think we have the makeup to bounce back from these kind of things and put ourselves in a position to potentially come back here and play again.
I agree with him. There's Aaron Rodgers. Welcome back. Tim Allen, Ryan Horvath in for the boys, Chuck and Bart. Here, Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. And Aaron Rodgers, I agree with that you got to give the other guys credit. I mean, sometimes you, in the NFL, as you guys know, you run into a freight train, and that team is rolling. I mean, they've got an outstanding defense. And an offense, honestly, the more I follow the NFL and certainly the 49ers in the NFC, the offense is still not where it's going to be. And that's the scary thing for the 49ers. That's a scary thing for the rest of the teams in the NFC. They still are just trying to find themselves offensively. They pick up Emmanuel Sanders. Okay, fair enough. They've got George Kittle. Outside of that, their passing game, what do you have there? A young and up-and-coming wide receiver and then a bunch of, you know, MVSs.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin, those types of guys. They're still trying to find themselves offensively. They need to get a little bit healthier with regards to the running situation. Tevin Coleman, what a great addition for that organization. So you got to give those guys credit. And Aaron's right on that. However, were they exposed a little bit? Was Aaron Rodgers exposed? That's the first thing I thought of. When I looked at the numbers, Ryan, 20 of 33, 104 yards passing. Worst game in terms of yards passing in Rodgers' career.
Yeah, and like I love Aaron Rodgers. I'm the head of his fan club, but I went deeper into the numbers even because there was some concerning stuff. I saw that the Packers were 0 for 13 on third down in that game.
1 for 15 overall.
Their first 0 for third down since 1999, the first in Aaron Rodgers' career that they went 0 for 13 on third down. And then even more troubling is two lowest career passing yardage totals when attempting at least 30 passers have come in the Packers' last two losses. So the game against the Chargers and then the game against the Niners, once again, is two lowest career passing yardage totals, and he threw over 30 passes. Like, that's the thing. You know, if you're going to drop back with Aaron Rodgers 35 times and you're trying to come back, and then you look at that stat sheet and you see 110 or 112, whatever it is, yards, like, those are Mitch Trubisky numbers. And this is a guy that we're all talking about being the best quarterback in the league, and I still think he has the potential, but I don't. Just something is off right now, and I know the offensive line stinks.
Or is it the team? Is it the weapons? Is it the new offense? What is it then?
Why is it that Davante Adams, I consider him to be a top five receiver in the league, especially with his route running. I think he may be the best route runner. I don't know about the best receiver. He comes back into this offense, and they've been brutal. Like, when he was out, those five games he was out or whatever it was, you mentioned it, Aaron Jones, 7 receptions. I mean, the Dallas game, like, you look at what they did with the offense. Everybody was stepping up and making plays, right? Jimmy Graham looked good. Aaron Jones, right. Jamal Williams, Jake Kumerow was making some plays. Alan Lazard was making some plays. Devontae comes back, and again, like, he's getting 10, 11 targets each game, and they're going away from some of these other guys. I feel like they're keying in on Davante Adams a little bit too much, and I just don't understand why, especially if you're not going to work him out of the slot or move him around a little bit.
799-1250, Aaron Rodgers conversation. So if you look at the rankings now, and again, as I said, a new offense implemented this year under LaFleur, an offensive line that is a little sketchy, or dicey, as Bob Uecker would say. You have lack of weapons. Is it fair to say it's lack of weapons in the wide receiver core? Is that a fair statement to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think so.
I think that's fair.
And then, certainly this past Sunday night, the disappearance of Aaron Jones, and then going up against that number one defense. So you have all of these things mixed into the pot here. So if you look at what type of season Rodgers is having, total QBR rankings, he's 16th, according to ESPN.com. 16th. That's Rodgers.
That's Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford. Well, that's actually not even. That's
it's funny you say that, because just above him, let's see, Tom Brady just above him, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan.
Another high-pay quarterback.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, although Fitzpatrick, short sample size, less games.
And he gets to throw the ball 75 times per game because...
Derek Carr ranked above him, Drew Brees, Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz.
Who's been awful this year.
He's horrible.
Kyler Murray's a rookie quarterback.
Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. Now you get to the big boys. Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson. These types of quarterbacks. These are what the numbers say. Let's see. There's some additional numbers. 2,800 yards thus far through the 11 games. That's a little low, right?
For Aaron Rodgers, especially.
That's what we're saying, for him. But is it him just starting to scratch the surface of heading downhill in the career? It's horrible and a shame. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. Love the dude. Same. One of the best to ever play the game.
Same.
Or and it's a shame, Ryan, that I even have to ask that question. That was the first thing I thought of after Sunday's game was, man, Aaron, just is this the beginning stages of this?
I feel like they just have to surround him with more talent. And you could argue that they've tried to do that, but I just feel like you have to protect him like you were the first 6-7 weeks of the season. And maybe Brian Gutekunst, like the reason that he didn't want to go after Emmanuel Sanders or one of these 31-year-old receivers with an injury history is because he's looking at this NFL draft and he's saying, this is going to be the best wide receiver draft that I've seen in the last 10 years. Because it is. I mean, there's three receivers just on Alabama's roster that are all going to go in the first round.
So it won't be Equanimeous St. Brown,
Jamon
Moore, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
No,
so you're saying they're better than that?
I am, and then there's some talent.
Okay,
CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma, I would take him in a heartbeat. He's going to be a hell of a slot receiver. My issue with that, though, is I wanted to go all in this year because, I mean, you found yourself in a position where you were coming out of the bye week at 8-2, but, I mean, we saw flashes that this offense could use another pass catcher, right? And just when you're in this position and your window is so small, because I feel like the Packers' window is small. Even if you are in this rebuilding stage and you're in a 2-3 year window, you still have a quarterback in his mid-30s. So I feel like any time you get off to a start like this, it's hard to win in this league. Look at the Bears last year. What, 11-5, 12-4, whatever the hell they were. And they win the division. Matt Nagy's coach of the year. Ryan Pace, executive of the year. And now this year, they're trash. They're garbage because it's hard to win in this league. The Rams, another great example. Super Bowl last year.
Oh,
Sean McVay, the hottest thing in the league. Now they're 6-5, and people are calling for the head of Sean McVay, who was like the it coach. Everybody wanted the next Sean McVay. Now nobody's even sold on him. It's hard to win in this league. So when you find yourself in a position around the trade deadline, I think you had to make yourself better. And if there's a name like A.J. Green out there, and I get you don't want to get rid of these draft picks because of this receiver class coming in, but I don't know. When you find yourself in a position like this, man, I say you go all in.
2,800 yards thus far for Aaron Rodgers, 18 touchdowns, a couple of picks. To compare, Dak Prescott, 3,400 yards, 21 touchdowns. However, the difference here is 8 picks for Dak Prescott.
Right.
Versus to Aaron Rodgers. Let's see. One more. You mentioned Kyler Murray. About the same yards passing, 2,900, a little above Rodgers. Only 14 touchdowns compared to Rodgers' 18. 5 picks.
Only a rookie. 20 years old.
And
we thought he was going to be playing for the A's.
Can I squeeze in Brian before the break? I know you want a break, but let me get Brian.
Oh, Brian just dropped.
Okay, we'll get him. You guys on the other side. I hate to ask this question, Milwaukee. I really do. But have you noticed? And I've been defending Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. Everyone's saying he's missing passes. He had a wide open receiver. Well, they all do that. Every game, every quarterback does every game. They'll miss a pass here or there. I've been defending Aaron Rodgers, but is this the beginning stages of the man being mere mortal? 799-1250. I hate asking this question, but you saw the game on Sunday night, and that's typically a game in which number 12 steps up. More next here. Chuck and Winkler, Tim and Ryan in for the boys on The Fan. Welcome back. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here in the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Tim Allen and Ryan Horvath in for the guys today. Poll question out there. I do like Chuck and Barton. I know you guys like them too, but poll question out there. Who do you like more and why?
I can't answer that question, though, as producer of the show. I love both of them equally. One day I'll like Chuck a lot more. I'll be like, yeah, Chuck's my favorite today. And then, one day I'll like Bart more. That's what happens when you spend every single day with the same people. You know what I mean? It's like being on a team, you know? One day you may hate your outside linebacker. The next day you may like him. Who knows?
What you saw and observed on Sunday night in that loss to the San Francisco 49ers, in specific regarding Aaron Rodgers, Are you seeing, I mean, the numbers were awful. Guys, they were. It's 104 yards passing in the biggest game of the last 3 years. Is that safe to say?
The last, let's go, yeah, I'd say the last 3 years. That was the biggest game. Right, yeah, right. Unless you want to go like 2 years ago when Rodgers came back from the collarbone and they needed to win like six of their last seven to make the playoffs.
Right.
But right, yeah, that was the biggest game.
So is it because of aging? Is it because of a new offense? Is it because of lack of weapons? Is it because of offensive line? So you tell me, because you're seeing a guy that, you know, like I said, the national broadcast, and I don't know who the color analyst was, but I heard him say it, he looks like a freshman college quarterback tonight. That is something that we're not used to in these parts. Not at all. And we'll get to your calls and your reaction here in just a second. 414-799-1250. Toy Drive Week coming up. Now, this is an annual thing. 13th annual for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. Going to be at Blaine's Farm and Fleet starting Monday. You get Chuck and Winkler, this show. You get Bill Michaels. You get the Wendy's Big Show. And helping out the community, helping out kids.
Yeah, make sure to bring a toy. Presented by our friends at Bayview Shade and Blind and Annex Wealth Management. I'm excited. This will be the third year for me. This is what? How many for you? 13 annuals?
So. A lot. Yeah. And it's super rewarding for not only us, but our listeners as well that come by and drop off cash and drop off toys. You get to win some prizes, meet some of the gang, hear from the fan. That's starting Monday, Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. You've got all day, every day, all week long next week, Monday through Friday. In fact, on Tuesday night at 6, I'll be there with former Brewers pitcher Paul Wagner, first edition of Hot Stove Weekly. So we can dig into the nuts and bolts of the Brewers 2020 championship season. Let me run some numbers by you regarding Aaron Rodgers. Week one against the Bears, 18 for 30 for 203 yards, one touchdown. Against the Vikings, 22 for 34, 209 yards with a couple of touchdowns. So 204 and then 209 in consecutive games to start the season. Against the Denver Broncos, 17 for 29, 235. So again, 200, 200, 235. With a single touchdown in that game against Philly, 34 for 53. Here's where we see a little bit of a change in Aaron Rodgers' season. 422 yards, couple of touchdowns, and an interception there. Against the Cowboys, 22 for 34, 238. No picks, no touchdowns. Against Detroit, 24 for 39, 283. Too many times in the twos here, Ryan.
Yeah.
And so is it the new offense, lack of weapons, or aging? It screams the conversation. It does. At some point, every quarterback goes through it. Even the best of the best. They hit the tipping point. You hit the tipping point in a myriad of things in your life. Whether it's at work or as a parent, you hit the tipping point once they get off to college. Then you hit another tipping point when they get out of the house. I mean, it happens. It's the brutal reality of pro sports here in this example. Against the Raiders, 25 for 31, 429, 5 touchdowns. Now there's Aaron Rodgers.
That was a career day for Aaron Rodgers. That was his best game of the season, I would argue. He was so damn good that day. I remember I was doing radio hits in Detroit for the ticket. I was at the game on their kind of like around the NFL show, and they were like, what is going on with Aaron Rodgers? He looks 26 years old. And I said, get used to this because here he comes. It's the revenge season.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it continued without Devontae Adams. He was finding guys like Aaron Jones, you know, Jamal Williams, Mercedes Lewis made a couple plays. Jimmy Graham looked really good. Geronimo was stepping up a little bit.
And it stayed that way into the Kansas City game as he goes 23 for 33, 305, and 3 touchdowns. So there you go, a couple of games there against the Chargers. Here we go, 23 for 35, 161, 1 touchdown. Against Carolina, 17 for 29, 233. No picks, no TDs. I mean, there's a pattern here, guys. This pains me to talk about this.
No, I agree, man. I mean, Joel tweets in at 105.7 FM The Fan, as you guys can as well, and he says, Rodgers is finished. Time to think of the future.
And then you have this week, a buck four, 799-1250. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on The Fan. What do you think? Aaron Rodgers, is it aging, a new offense, or lack of weapons?
I felt this for a couple of years now, and here's an example. You know, the Arizona Cardinals gave us a blueprint for how to beat that San Francisco defense with those quick dink and dunk passes to the running backs. But Rodgers, here's the cardinal sin of any quarterback. When you deliver the ball late, which Rodgers often does, you lead your receivers into big hits. And nobody has taken more vicious hits this year than Geronimo Allison. I'm not a big fan of his, but I'm just telling you, he's taken some unnecessarily big hits because his quarterback delivered the ball late or behind him, and that's a recipe for disaster. You watch Kyler Murray against the 49er defense, these quick throws out in front of the running back, mm-hmm. so he catches it in stride, gets mm-hmm. extra yardage. But inevitably, when Rodgers tries to check down, he always delivers the ball late and behind the guy, which leads him into a big hit or no yak. It just drives me insane.
So what would you think the biggest reason of... Is it fair to say it's a down season for Aaron Rodgers, right?
I think it's partially that, and I think it's also the play calling.
Okay.
I mean, the Packers, I really thought they were going to come out and play an Arizona-type air raid offense Sunday night. You know, adapt your scheme to the team that you're playing against that week. And the Packers are trying to run their same old stuff against a ferocious front four that they couldn't block.
If I had to rank these, Steve, I appreciate the conversation. If I had to rank these things, so new offense, lack of weapons, or aging, I would put lack of weapons on top, the new offense, and then the aging as the final thing. 799-1250. That's where, and again, not a pleasant conversation when you're dealing with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and even looked at the passer ratings against the 49ers this season because I was making the argument. You know, I like to do my best to stick up for Aaron Rodgers, but
me
after
too.
A couple stinkers,
me
it's kind
too.
Of tough. I looked at the passer ratings against the Niners this season. We keep bringing up Kyler Murray. 130 and 101 passer ratings against that Niners defense. Case Keenum, a 91.3.
Yuck.
Andy Dalton, a 90.5. Russell Wilson, 86.9. Mason Rudolph, 81.4. Now listen to this. Aaron Rodgers, 75.8. Mm-hmm. And then you get to Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, Kyle Allen, and Baker Mayfield. So that's the, I mean, I love Aaron Rodgers, but that's the crew that he's with. Mason Rudolph, Jared Goff, Jameis Winston, and Kyle Allen as the bottom-ranked quarterbacks that have faced the 49ers this year. And it's scary, man. I mean, that was a scary performance. And granted, that Niners defense is good, but 104 passing yards with that's the fewest yardage on 20-plus completions in NFL history. Completing 20 balls for only 100 yards, that's Mitch Trubisky's not even doing that.
No, not at all. And it just surprised me that a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who thrives in games like that, the big game, finds a way. It was a performance like that, and not just for Aaron Rodgers. It just wasn't him, guys. It was a collective kind of deal, but wow. KJ, you're next on The Fan. What's up, KJ?
Aloha, brothers. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Blake Bortles comes to mind from that last performance, guys. I'm going to make a baseball reference, Tim, that you can probably relate to. You know the guy that comes to the plate and, you know, in the past in his career, he was been a home run hitter almost every. I mean, he gets up there and he's swinging for the fences every time he gets up there, right? That's what Aaron Rodgers reminds me of at
Adam
this
Dunn.
Point. And he,
yeah.
you know, he's swinging for the fences every time he gets the ball snapped to him instead of trying to hit a double, you know, or a base hit, you know, to use that reference. But the thing with Rodgers right now is I think it's a combination of all these things, including injuries. And I've watched a lot of quarterbacks, all the way back to Marino, Dan Fouts, even Joe Namath. I mean, these guys, once they get to a certain point in their career, all great quarterbacks, but you know, they don't know how to make the certain adjustments. And now he's going through a whole new offense.
Well, if it's
a whole different experience for him, Tim,
I get
in
it.
Terms of what he needs to, you know, to be doing. And
I'll let you respond to this, and then we got to turn you loose.
Yeah.
If it's valid that an organization like the Baltimore Ravens patterned their offense around what they've got to work with, and that's Lamar Jackson, right? So you heard last night Booger McFarland refer to this. Hey, the Ravens were not afraid to adjust their offensive scheme to the weapon that they have, and that's Lamar Jackson. Why is it not valid that the Green Bay Packers organization adjust around Aaron Rodgers' style of play, which, as you say, is going for the home run ball?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not going to do that because they still, in their mindset, the Green Bay Packers organization, think, like you mentioned earlier, that Rodgers can win ball games at the end of ball games.
Then LaFleur wants a game manager.
He cannot.
LaFleur wants a game manager then. That's what his style of offense is.
Exactly.
He wants Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean,
well, we're not used to that here.
No, you're not. But, I mean, get used to it.
All right, KJ, thanks. So why is it valid that other teams adjust to the personnel they have and Green Bay didn't?
Yeah, I don't know that Matt LaFleur wants a game manager. I'm pretty sure he would be fine if Aaron Rodgers was 26-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I just think in this offense, I don't know. I don't really have a clear idea of what they want to do in this offense. I thought that I was starting to pick up what LaFleur wanted to do, obviously with the multiple tight ends, using the backs a little bit more.
Concerning to me, these yards passing.
Well,
that's the concerning
part.
Well,
it's the personnel that I just can't quite put my finger on because, like, I thought we were going to use the fullback a little bit more, see a little bit more eye formation. Then you look at the snap count from last game. Danny Vitale, the fullback, 9 snaps only. He played 9 snaps only.
Yeah.
Explain that to me. When you're not running... I don't know, man.
So is it a new offense, which I completely understand. Even Aaron Rodgers mentioned that throughout OTAs and camp. That, hey, you know, I'm still getting it. We're still trying to get it together.
Right.
Is it the new offense? Is it the weapons around Aaron Rodgers? Or is it that A word, aging? Is it a little bit of aging going on that we're all trying to deal with here? A painful conversation this morning. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Tim Allen, Ryan Horvath in for the boys today on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.